Verse 8 and 9. Going to give you a Bible lesson on grace versus works and the law tonight. This is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. We start there. Grace versus the works and law. Some of these things I'll say tonight, you've heard over and over. There's nothing new underneath the sun. But it's good for you to hear things. It's good that you hear truth. It strengthens you when you hear truth. Things that you believe, when you hear it again and again, it strengthens your belief in it and establishes you in the faith. And I want to talk to you about the grace of God tonight. Amen? And salvation. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and look at verse 8 and 9. We'll stand for the reading of God's word. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'll keep reading. For we are his, Jesus' workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're saved to work. We're not saved by works. We're saved so we can work. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the truth that you put in my heart many years ago. I thank you for all the wonderful truth of the word and pray you'll bless us. Lord, I know, at least, Father, I believe with all my heart, this is what you put in my heart to teach tonight. Someone needs to hear this. Someone's going to put this in their heart, and maybe they're going to share it with another person, and someone's going to be set free. Bless the teaching now. Help me to do well for you tonight that I can be a blessing to your people. Bless all the other classes that we have. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There is no element of works involved in salvation. Salvation is 100%, 100% by faith. Salvation is 100% free gift. There'll be some people try to tell you there's an element of works and faith and all kinds, but it's all a gift, 100%. It's all by faith, 100%. Look at Ephesians 2:8. It says, for by grace are you saved through working. No. How you saved? Through faith. And then it goes, and that not of yourself. Hey, it's not all about you. It's all about him. Amen. It's none of us. It's all of him. You're saved through faith and not of yourself. Then it goes on, it's a gift of God. Salvation's a gift. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. It's a gift. It's free. And so it's a free gift. There's no... And then look at verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. There's no boasting. Later on, I'll show you, if we get to it in Romans, where they even show about Abraham, the father of faith. Where is boasting? They'll say, could Abraham boast? No, he couldn't boast either because he got saved by faith too. And don't let people tell you they are trying to earn their salvation. Don't let people try to tell you they're working through their salvation. Or I'm holding on, or I hope. I'm not holding on to my salvation. I'm kept by the power of God. And salvation is not 90% faith and 10% works, or 50-50, or 60-40, or 70-30, or 20-80. There's no percentage in salvation. It's 100% faith in Christ. Works do not count or enter into salvation in any way. I want you to read with me in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Look at verse 16. Me makes me want to start and teach my Romans class again. I love teaching the book of Romans. Only takes me about 8 months to teach it with 2 hours a night. Yeah, at least, yeah, like that, yeah. Little year, maybe over a year. Look at Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man, are you in Galatians 2:16? God wants you to know something. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith, you're justified what? By the faith of what? Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Boy, I'm going to tell you right now, those people that believe you got to be baptized, that's a work. Got to do something special. Got to speak in tongues. That's a work. Hello, are you still with me? By the way, those tongue speaking, it was always a known language. When they spoke it, people got saved. And by the way, that was for the early church because they didn't have the full Bible. We got the full Bible now. Tongues have ceased. Hello? Now notice, it says we're saved by faith, not of works. And for the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You know, that's why it says, or don't turn to it, but I just thought in Matthew 7:7 says, it goes on about, many will stand before me and say, I never knew you. Why? Because they tried to work their way to heaven. I did many wonderful works. He says, depart from me, I never knew you. Yeah, because they were counting on their works. Don't count on works. And people counting on, when people tell you they're counting on their works to get them to heaven, that tells you one thing. They haven't put 100% faith in Christ. They're not going to heaven. And you need to tell them that. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians! Who hath betwixt you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Well, you got it by... He asked a question there. Well, you're so foolish. Did you get saved by hearing or by works? Well, you got saved by faith, by hearing see verse 2? This only what I learned you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Because we know so then faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the... That's why those people were pricked in the heart about when they heard that. What's good about hell? Look at verse 3. Are you so foolish? Have you begun in the Spirit? Man, you got saved by faith. Now you want to try to go back from faith to try to hold on and work through? Are you with me? Are you so foolish, having begun the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? No, you're not made perfect by the flesh. And Paul's saying, listen, man, you guys are messed up. Don't get taken. You know, a lot of people, they get caught up in the all kinds of false teachings. Ephesians says they're tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. That's why you need to know your Bible and be strengthened and settled in His Word. Know what you know and believe what you know. Amen? And look at verse 6 of that same chapter. Talks about Abraham. We're going to talk about Abraham tonight. Even as Abraham, you got Galatians 3:6? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for what? Righteousness. Look up here. Boy. There's something going on in our school. Kids have been real sick. A lot of throwing up. I haven't thrown up yet. I hope tonight ain't the first night. But my head's whizzing and my stomach feels just rotten. No, that's all right. Thank you. Abraham got saved just like you and I did. You know, and that's why I want to teach on this. You think, well, man, those Old Testament people, they got saved a different way than we did. They got saved the same way you did, and you got saved the same way they did, believing on the Christ. And I'm going to show you by God's grace tonight I'm going to show you that Abraham got saved by believing in Christ. Yes. And he had no works involved. So look at that verse 6. Even as Abraham, I'm going to show you when he got saved, because we're going through the book of Genesis, and this is what prompted me, because while we're going through and we're reading through, and I thought I'd give you little tidbits as we go. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted him for righteousness, know ye not therefore that they which are of faith are the same are the children of Abraham? And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, that's Gentiles, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, he preached it before to Abraham. Oh boy. Saying, the God of Abraham saying in these all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith, verse 9, Galatians 3, are blessed with faithful Abraham. How many see that? Pick up verse 13 in that same chapter, and I'm going to teach you, show you something. Christ hath redeemed us. Are you in Galatians 3:13? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. When he went on the cross of Calvary, he became a curse for us. He was judged, took all our sins. Aren't you glad? Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham, boy, we just keep talking about Abraham, might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. How many see that? Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannul it or add unto it. Now, look at verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And he saith not, and to seeds, plural, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Circle that word seed. And write out there Genesis 15:5. We're going to turn to it in just 1 minute. 15:5. We're going to turn to it. But I want to, before I leave there, I had stuff on the back page, Brian, but I know we're not going to get to it. So I'm going to give you a little thought before I leave Galatians, because I probably won't get to go back to it. Brother Phil, when people try to talk to you about the law, this, like, for instance, Brent, there's what we call a religion called Seventh-day Adventists. And they say they're keeping the law. Well, first of all, the law, the Bible says, if you look at Galatians 3:25, I'm going to come back to this verse 16. But look at Galatians 3:24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. How many see that? So number one, the law only showed us one thing. The law showed us that God was holy and we were not holy. We were unholy. The law showed us that we couldn't keep the law. No one. There was only one person that ever kept the Ten Commandments. Jesus. In James chapter 2, verse 10, he says, if you offend in one commandment, you've offended in all. Fellow says, well, I've kept the Ten Commandments. I might have failed in one, but I've kept the other nine. The Bible says it's like dominoes. How many of you ever had, you push one. He said, if you fail in one, you failed in all. Can I tell you something? Outside of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, there's never been a person ever born that kept the law perfect. Jesus came, he fulfilled the law. He's the only one that did and could. So people trying to keep the law, they're in trouble. They've already broke it. And can I break your bubble, Mr. Seventh-day Adventist? The law only was given to the seed should come. Look at Galatians 3:19. Look, are you still in Galatians? So boy, Brother Jack, those bumbleheads down the street there on Route 59, they've lost out because they're trying to keep the law, Brother Cantyver. Wherefore, look at 3:19 of Galatians. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, our sins, watch, till it was only in, it was only put in place till the seed should come. How many see that? Well, if you'll see Galatians 3:29, you'll see that that seed was Christ. And if you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to that promise. How many see that? How many are still with me? Watch. That seed, go back to verse 16 of Galatians 3:16. Now, to Abraham and this seed where the promise is made, he said not as to seeds, plural, no. As of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is what? Watch, what did Galatians 3:19 say? The law was only given until the seed should come. So when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the Looney Tunes played. That's all, folks, for the law. He cut it off. He disannulled it. Void it. It was only given for one reason, to show us that we needed Christ. So people holding on to the law, they're holding on to something that God said is not there no longer. And by the way, people that are clinging to the law to get them to heaven, that law could never get them to heaven in the first place. I'm going to tell you, people that believe in works, they need to be taught truth. And you that know truth should bring truth to set people free. Now let's go look at verse 16 again. And I'm going to give you a great truth about Abraham tonight. And yes, we will end up in Romans. Brian, we will end up in Romans. I know for a fact we will. Now to Abraham, look at Galatians 3:16. And his seed where the promise is made, he saith not, God didn't say to the seed as many, but as one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now watch, we read in Galatians, look at Galatians 3:6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted him for righteousness. What did he believe, and when did he believe it? Well, you look at Genesis chapter 15, verse 5 and 6. I'm going to show you something. And then we're going to go to Romans. All the people in Rome that took the Romans class, they know exactly what preacher's doing. Good to remember it, though, because you can rehearse it and you can teach it more. Oh, yeah, now I remember that. So sometimes it's good to reteach what you've learned. It brings it back. Do you know when I teach the book, I still, after 30 years, I still look over, I listen to Dr. John Brooks tapes over and over and over. And a lot of times I'll say, wow, I didn't catch that before. You can always learn something. Amen? And even as preachers know and teachers, even when I'm preaching, a lot of times the preacher might be saying, or a teacher, whoever it is, they might be saying something, and the Holy Spirit will show me something that's not even there, but you'll from that scripture, you'll say, oh, my lands, I never saw it like that. So it's just good to be in His Word. Look at Genesis 15, 5 and 6. Genesis 15, 5 and 6. And he brought him forth abroad and said, God's talking to Abraham. I'm here in the book of Genesis. Okay. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. Watch what he said. He talked about it over there in Galatians. We just read it over there in Galatians. And he said, God said unto Abraham, so shall thy seed be. How many see that? How many see that verse 15? Verse 5, chapter 15. And then look at verse 6. And he, talking about Abraham, he, Abraham, believed in the Lord, and because he believed what God told him, he counted to him for righteousness. That very moment, Brother Elmer, God saved Abraham. Wow. Well, what was he before in Genesis 12? He was a man like Cornelius that believed there was a God and obeyed, but he wasn't saved yet. Woo! Don't blow me off yet. Give me a chance. I'll give you scripture. It says that God accounted Abraham righteousness right there in Genesis 15:6. It's recorded in Galatians. I'm going to show it to you in Romans too. Hello? Why did he get that accounted, Brother Dale? Because God said, Abraham, I'm going to send the Messiah. I'm going to send the promised seed. See, Abraham was obedient to go out where he didn't know where he's going. He just knew there was a God. Hello? Look up here. I'm going to teach this in the future because it keeps in my heart. I'm going to take a whole class on it, maybe next week, but not. I'm just going to give you a little thought before I go to my next point. Folks, it's always been the Messiah. It's always been the promised seed of Christ from Abraham, way before Abraham. Adam and Eve, when Adam and Eve sinned, don't turn to it. Let me just quote because I've got to get this lesson done tonight. In Genesis 3:21, the Bible says that God clothed them. They were naked, and God clothed them, Genesis 3:21. For God to clothe Adam and Eve, an innocent animal had to be killed. Something had to be slain so their nakedness could be covered. We believe it was a lamb. We believe God killed an innocent lamb and clothed Adam and Eve with the covering of the lamb. And to verify that teaching, when you go to Genesis chapter 4, you'll see they had two sons, Cain and Abel. Abel offered up a lamb. And God said that was a good offering. He accepted that offering. Why did Abel offer up that lamb? He offered up that lamb because God taught Adam and Eve there's going to be a lamb, the Messiah, the Lamb of God's going to come. The Savior's going to come. He's going to shed his blood and die for your sins. He's going to cover your sins, that lamb, that shed blood of the lamb. And they taught their sons that the Lamb of God was going to come. How many are still with me? That's why God didn't accept Cain's offering. He offered up the works of his hands. And if you'll study it, don't do it now. In verse 7, God says, hey, Cain, why are you so mad? Says the word said he was wroth. Why are you so mad, Cain? The sin lieth at the door. All you got to do is offer up a lamb. If you come God's way, you'll get accepted too. The trouble is, everybody wants to be like Frank Sinatra. They want to do it their own way. You either go God's way or you don't go at all. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Trouble is, everyone else wants to work and earn their way. No, there's no earning. The debt's already been paid in full by the blood shed of the Lamb. Well, what God did, he revealed to Abraham, hey, that promised seed's going to come. The seed, singular, that promised seed, the Messiah, the Lamb. And it got, Abraham said, oh, my lands. The Messiah is going to come through my long. How many are with me? And he believed in Christ. The Bible says that in Galatians. Don't fight the word of God. And when he believed it, the Bible says, and by the way, the moment I trusted Christ, he accounted it for me for righteousness. The moment you trusted Christ, by the way, everyone ever got saved from the Old Testament through the New Testament have always had to believe on the Messiah, the Christ to come. God's Lamb. God's provision. Are you with me? No one ever got saved by works in the Old Testament or the New Testament. From Adam and Eve, starting with Adam and Eve, people got saved by the Lamb, believing on the Lamb. That's why I know Cain went to hell. Because Cain refused to come by the Lamb. Abel's in heaven. He believed that the Lamb would come. How many are with me? Now note, some people will teach you that the saints, the Old Testament saints, were saved by the law, by keeping the law and having faith, both. By the way, I'm not going to get done by 8 o'clock. And if I come here, you can give me 15 more minutes. I came over here sick. I could have laid in bed tonight. And I came over to teach. I feel like teaching. Do you feel like learning? If you want to leave, you can, but I'm going to teach for a while. I feel like teaching the Bible. Amen? Listen, some people teach, and they'll teach in the Old Testament saints that they were saved by keeping the law and by faith both. No, they were all saved by faith, not keeping the law. The law never kept anybody. The law couldn't save anyone. That's why Christ came. If the law could save people, why would Christ have to come with a new covenant? Hello? Read the book of Hebrews. I want you to look at something with me. Hold your hand there and hold your hand there in Genesis because I'm going to come right back. But go to Romans. Boy, this Romans is a great book. Probably my favorite book in the New Testament, Eddie. Let's see here. I told you to go to Romans. Look at Romans 4:1. Keep your one finger in Genesis, because we're going to come back to Genesis. What shall we say? Are you in 4:1 of Romans? What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? He hadn't found nothing. He found it by faith. For if Abraham, look what it's saying here. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Boy, they just shut down the workers there. For what says the scripture? And that's all that matters. It don't matter what I say or you say. What does the Bible say? What does the scripture say? Let God be true and every man a liar, including me. What said the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And it says that in Genesis 15:6, because you just read it. Are you still with me in Romans 4? Now watch. Verse 4, Romans 4. To him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not. Yeah, if you could work for heaven, there would be debt. God would have to owe you something. He don't owe us nothing. We owe all to him. But to him that worketh not, verse 5, Romans 4, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for what? Righteousness. Even as David also described the blessings of a man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. Without works. Saying, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. We're covered by the blood. The Bible says that God will remember them no more. And as far as east and from west, the Bible says they're gone away. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin, because he forgives us of all that when we trust his Savior. Now, look at verse 9. He asks you a question. Well, then, does this blessing, cometh this blessing then upon the circumcision? In other words, is the Jews only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Are you with me? How was it then reckoned? Now this actually, when you're talking about this circumcision, it's talking about a physical circumcision too. Look up here so I can explain something to you first. In the Old Testament, Jewish people, the male boys from on the eighth day, and I'm not trying to be immodest or nothing, but they were circumcised. You had little boys, they still do it today. They, for hygiene purposes, they circumcise that foreskin of the boys and keeps them more cleaner. How many are still with preacher? So from Abraham on, they started circumcising their children. And they called them the children of the circumcision. Are you with me? So when you see circumcision, most you relate to the Jewish people because they're the ones that first did it. How many are still with preacher? So now, Ruthie, he's saying, okay, you relate works, you're relating the law, and this is all underneath the law about circumcision. Circumcision is underneath the law. Okay, and Abraham is the father of our faith, right? Well, let's take Abraham. Was he saved before he was circumcised or after he was circumcised? If you need works, then he had to get saved after he was circumcised. If you need works, he'd have to have the circumcision, right? How many are still with me? I'm going to show you. Abraham got saved way before he got circumcised. And that's what Romans trying to show you. He was saying to the kids, duh. Look, come with this blessing then. He wants you to think. Verse 9, Romans 4. Upon the circumcision, only upon circumcision also, we say faith was reckoned to Abraham. How was it then reckoned when he was in circumcision or uncircumcised? Did he get saved before he was circumcised or after he was circumcised? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness. See, look, the circumcision you want is the circumcision of the heart. The Romans teaches over there in 2:29, I think it is, talks about the circumcision of the heart. See, we're talking about spiritual and flesh. Some people want to get justified by the flesh. Are you still with me? I'm not trying to be crude. I'm trying to give you a truth here from the Bible. When worldly circumcision, that's flesh. People say, well, you got to be circumcised to go to heaven. You got to do this to go to heaven. That's flesh. No, God says all you need is faith in my son. That's the circumcision you need. Scripture says circumcision of the heart. Are you with me? How many are still with me? Amen. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 10. How was it then reckoned when he was in circumcision? Answer, not in circumcision, but in and he received the sign of circumcision, the seal of righteousness of faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of them that believe, through though not being circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. How many see that? I'll tell you, folks. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only. In other words, he could be the father of the Jews and the Gentiles, because it doesn't matter if you're fleshly circumcised or not. It's the circumcision of the heart that matters, what God's trying to show you. But those who walk in the steps of faith of our father, Abraham, which he being yet uncircumcised. In other words, hey, forget about all the works. The works don't do nothing for you. Hold your hand in Romans, go to Genesis. Look at Genesis chapter 17. Remember, Abraham got saved in Genesis 15:6. Abraham got saved in Genesis 15:6. Are you still with me, church? How many got Genesis 17 now? Verse 23. Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all that were born in the house, and all that were brought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the same day as God had said unto them. And Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. He didn't get circumcised till he was 99 years old. But he believed. He didn't get circumcised till Genesis 17, 23, 24. But he got saved back in Genesis 15:6. If you had to have works to get, I hope you're getting what I'm trying to teach, and God's trying to show you and every Jew, anyone that believes in the law, you don't need the law to get to heaven. Because Abraham got saved without the law. How many are following me? And Ishmael, his son, he was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh. Can I give you one little tidbit, Mark, while I'm at it? While you're still in Genesis. So, by the way, God's showing you, hey, duh, Seventh-day Adventist. Don't say you're clinging to the law. Abraham didn't need it. Why are you holding on to it? Moses didn't need it. Adam and Eve didn't need it. And it was only given till Christ came, the seed. Hello? Now watch. Look at Genesis 16:16. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael. How many see that? Are you in Genesis 16:16? How many see that? How old was Abraham when Ishmael was born? He was 86 years old. This ain't got nothing to do with what I'm teaching you. But it's a little, it's an IGA coupon. Giant Eagle coupon. Some kind of coupon. Everybody likes coupons. Shannon Ray sold me on coupons. I buy the paper now just to get the coupons and look at the obituary. I look every day to see if my name's in there. Every day I say, it's not there, praise God. Still alive. I'll keep cutting coupons out for this Sunday if I'm still here. God was not in that Ishmael being born. He was very, very irritated at Abraham trying to make the promise fulfill for him. He said, I'll give you a seed. And Abraham and Sarah tried to take it in their own hands. No, you let God take. God can take care of things. We don't have to help God. God can take care of everything. He was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. Look at Genesis 17:1. And Abraham was 90 years old and 9, and the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me. If I understand this right, Jim, and I believe I do, God didn't speak to Abraham for 13 years. He was mad. 13's a bad number. Every time in the Bible, 13's a bad number. Okay. Let's go on. One last thought. Let's get back to Abraham, okay? With the works. Are you still with me? I had one lady born on the 13th. She used to hate when I teach that. She says, preacher, I'm born on... I said, well, that's right. You know, that's a good day you were born. But 13 is a bad number. If you're born on 13, then you're still blessed. But it is a bad number. I can't help it. You were born on the 13th. But you got redeemed. God's washed all your sins away if you're saved. So he washed the 13 out. Amen? Go back real quickly with me to Romans chapter 3, and I'm going to close this out. That's why I hardly ever get started doing this stuff, because it takes me too long to do it. And you know, Brian, because you took me. To teach something, you've got to have time to do it. And I like to take my time and teach. Romans chapter 3. And look at verse 21. We'll close it out. Romans 3:21. How many saw, though, Abraham got saved before he was circumcised? Okay. In Romans 3:21, but now the righteousness of God without the law, I'm talking about the grace of God versus the law and works. You can see the grace of God triumphs every time over the works. I said this today. I don't know if we're going to get to it. How many have ever tried to mix oil and water? You can't mix oil and water. You can't, can you? Well, that's the same way with oil and water. It's grace and works. You can't mix them. They won't go together. You're either saved by all grace or you're saved by all works. But we're saved by all grace. Look at Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God, which the law is, without the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the prophets are talking about it. Even this wonderful righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, it comes upon all and upon all that believe. That for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace. It's free, and it's grace, and it's redemption through what? In Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be propitiation through, is it works or faith? Faith. In his blood, in that precious blood, going back to Cain and Abel, Abel offered up the blood. God shed innocent blood for Adam and Eve. Are you with me? Yep. Moses gave up the blood. For 4,000 years, they gave up the blood. Are you with me? Yep. It's always been the blood, and it always will be. Faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness. Yeah, because if you get saved by works, it would be your righteousness. Guess what? Isaiah said, we all are righteous, but filthy rags. We don't have any righteousness of our own. Only righteousness we have is what's imputed to us from Christ when we get him as Savior. That he might be just, Christ, might be just and justifier of him which believe in who? Jesus. Then I like this. Well, then where is boasting then? Oh, it's excluded. Because salvation is all by grace through faith. There's no boasting because we're all sinners saved by grace. By what law of works? Nay. Or for the kids, not. By the law of, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. How many see that? Nobody's ever been saved by works. No one will ever be saved by works. Works has, there is no elements of salvation made up with works. None. It's all by faith in Christ. 100%. And look at, I'll just read two more verses. I got to quit. I wish I didn't have. Romans 5:1. Therefore, we're being justified by faith. How are you justified? By faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. It's all by faith, not by works. Look at one last verse and I'll quit. For tonight. Aren't you glad I didn't feel good? I felt good. I kept running going. Romans 11:6. Get to Romans 11:6 and I'll stop. And if by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. In other words, look up here, I'm all done. Either you're saved 100% by grace, which makes no works involved, or you're saved 100% in works and there's no grace involved. It's either got to be works or it's got to be grace. And the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so today, in the ring, in the first round, grace has knocked out works and left and right knocked out law. A double knockout in the first round. And grace is the champion. Grace wins. And faith triumphs. Amen? Don't let anybody tell you. They're holding on. They're holding out. They're praying through. Now, the Bible says in Peter, we're all kept by the power of God. In Romans, I think it's the last verse in 3, or maybe it's the last verse in chapter 2, Romans. It talks about the circumcision. Someone looked that for me. I think it's chapter 2, I think. Is it the last, around verse 30, 31? So I haven't looked it up. It's been a long time since I've taught it. It talks about the circumcision of the heart. Get that. You got that, Mark? Who's got Romans? Where's Romans 2? Is it 29? Who's got Romans 2:29? I've got my glasses. Read it to me, Eddie. Inwardly, yeah. Yeah. See, you want that circumcision that gets you to heaven? Get the circumcision of the heart. It's by faith in Christ. I'm going to give you one last scripture. I'll get you coming in just 1 minute. 1 Corinthians 12:13. That Spirit's the Holy Spirit. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether it be Jews or Gentile, bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. And that Spirit is the Spirit of the living God. That's what gets you to heaven. Faith in the Son of God. 100%. Jesus, I can't make it without you. Embrace him. I take you. I can't do it. I trust you to make it for me. That's it. It's so easy people stumble over. Because, see, we want to have part in it. You know what I'm saying? See, the lost people got to get themselves out of the way and put Jesus center step. All to him I owe. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you for the time we've had. Help us to learn and to grow, and help us to teach others also. So many good people. There's good people out there, Father. I met people that are good, upright people that don't even know for sure they're saved and hope they're saved. And Lord, they never realize that God has set them free, that we've been set free. We're no longer in bondage, and we're free. You tell us in your word that we might know that we have eternal life. Scripture says that you've sealed us until the day of redemption. Grieve not the Holy Spirit whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. And Ephesians 1:13 tells me, the moment I believed, I was sealed. Help us to understand this great truth. And then help us to give it to other people that they might know Christ and the free pardon of sin. Help us not to walk in fear and bondage, but help us to be free and free indeed. And to share our faith with Christ to others. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed before we go home tonight, how many could say, preacher, I have asked Christ to save me. I have got that righteousness imputed to me from Jesus Christ. Could you raise that hand? I'm positive I've got that righteousness. Thank you. You may put them down. Would there be any tonight that say, preacher, I'm really not sure. Not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to get that imputed righteousness that only God can give. Pray for me. Anyone like that tonight? Pray for me. Before I pray, maybe you got someone that you know is lost. And you'd say, preacher, pray for me. I know someone that's lost, and this week I'm going to try to witness to him. Pray that God would help me to be a witness today. Yes, ma'am. Yes, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Oh, that we would take our Savior to others. Father, thank you for the time we've had. Bless this short invitation now. Maybe there might be people who want to pray for others, or maybe there's just something in their heart they want to pray about. Lord, have your will and way in our life, we ask in Christ's name. Amen.